You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
One of the things I remember from my early days as a marriage therapist was how often I heard the exact same complaint said over and over. And what was more interesting is sometimes I heard the exact same complaint in the same session with both people claiming the same problem. And that problem always is when their story was about control. Somebody was trying to control somebody else. Now, surely there's a problem when both people are under the impression and under the clear belief that the other person is controlling them, and both of them hold that belief. It's almost as if those are impossible. And yet, that was the situation over and over. So many times somebody would come in and say, "I cannot deal with this anymore. My spouse is so controlling." And many times I had somebody come into my office and say, "My spouse feels like I'm being controlling, and yet I feel like I'm the one who keeps losing out, and I keep trying to find a way to just deal with life one piece at a time." So where is the truth in that? Well, I think that the real issue here is a fundamental issue about control. And the issue is that we all want some sense, some level of control in our life. And more than that, whenever something is making us fearful, we have a deeper need for control. There's something that grips us and we want even more control when we're at that place of fear. The roots of all controlling behavior, in my opinion, are about fear. Because when we feel fear, many people, and I would say probably even most people, are trying to dig down and grab control back. And what they're trying to do is worthwhile, right? They're trying to get things back to where they think things should be. And that really is the key here. It's where they think things should be. And so in a marriage where there's a problem and one person is saying, "You know what, I've had enough, I'm out of here," the other person is under the belief that they should get things back to where the marriage needs to be. Now, I would argue for a while that probably the things weren't where they needed to be anyway, but there is a desire to at least get things back on solid ground. And so people tend to spin around trying to find some ways of regaining control. So let me ask you a quick question. Have you heard that from your spouse? Has your spouse said to you, "You're being controlling," or has your spouse said something about how tired they are of the control? Or are you recognizing that you yourself are scrambling around for control? Because there's another way that people often say that same thing, which is, "You're crowding me. I need some space. I can't even breathe." That's also about control. "You're the one who believes in where we need to be." That's also about control. "Why do you keep insisting that we try to work on this relationship and go to therapy and go to retreats and all that? Can't you see?" They're all responses to a feeling of being controlled. So there is something about control that is just in human nature that we all try to do. And by the way, it doesn't just trip us up in marriage. It trips us up all over the place. I have great respect for people who are in the recovery movement, who have worked to break their addictions. Because one of the basic tenets of recovery is admitting you don't have control. Admitting that you're in a place of being controlled by a substance or a process or something going on. And that is the beginning point of change. In fact, they have adopted the Serenity Prayer. A lot of people think that the Serenity Prayer came from the recovery movement. But really, recovery adopted that prayer, and I love this prayer. It's by Reinhold Niebuhr, who is a great theologian, his wonderful belief systems there. And he said, and this is just the preamble, the beginning of his prayer. He says, "God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." All three lines are so important. What I notice is a lot of people just say the Serenity Prayer, "I've got to have serenity," right? And they forget that there's also a call there. I've got to be changing things. I got to take the courage to make some changes in my life, and I've got to take the courage of stepping into that. And then there's another piece. And I've got to find the wisdom to understand the difference between the things I can't change, I have no power over, and the things that I actually can change. And so what I notice about that, and what I think is so true, is that we humans aren't real good at that wisdom. We end up trying to control things that we can't control, and we fail to control the things we can control. No less so in a marriage where we're struggling to get things to the right place. And so as I think about that, it seems that it's a very useful place to begin a conversation about that control piece. Am I being controlling is a good question. Am I even trying to control the right things is a secondary issue. Why am I getting pulled into that? That's a great question. So let's talk some about where you can make a difference and where you can't control, at least. You can make a difference in some other areas, but you can't control them. So I would like for you to think about three different categories for things. One is the group of things over which you have full control. Over the things which you have full control. Now, the problem is a lot of times people fail to notice the things that they have full control over. But let's notice that there's a category of things over which you have full control. Then there's another group over which you have partial control. That there are some things about these pieces that are outside of what you can control, but there are some pieces of this that are entirely in your control. So these are the partial controls. And then there are the things over which you have no control. And probably, ironically enough, the ones you struggle the most to try to control. It's interesting that we're always looking at those outside things that we really can't control, and we're trying to find a way of grabbing hold and making that a shift, making it so that we can control that. And it is a losing battle that we play throughout our lives. So as we walk through these three things, let's remember that serenity prayer. There is the serenity to accept the things you cannot change. Those are the things that are not in your control at all. And there are the pieces of the puzzle over which you only have partial control. The courage to change the things you can control. Those are the places where you do have that partial control and the full control. And then today, we're really focusing on the wisdom. How do you tell the difference over whether you should be able to control something or if it's outside of your control? So let's talk first about some things over which you cannot control. You cannot control the actions and choices of another person. Let me say that again. I'm not talking just about a spouse. I'm talking about anyone. Several weeks back, I talked about the problem with the word get. Trying to get a spouse to do something and how dangerous that word is. And this is where it steps into the control place. When people are trying to get somebody to do something, they are trying to control the actions or choices of somebody. And so this is where it is in a kind of an understanding that what we were talking about those weeks ago is still true in this arena. In fact, it puts another layer on it of understanding that what you're trying to do when you're trying to get somebody to do something is find some way of controlling their choices or their behavior. Now, I would say that this is true across the board. Now, there are places where we might be able to inflict a little bit more control because we have some authority. For instance, over our children. We might feel like we have some control there, but we really don't. We can insist that they do something and punishing them when they don't do something, but it's very proof right there. If you have to punish a child because they did something you didn't want them to, they're already proving that you don't control the behavior. You might be reacting to the behavior and you might be trying to end the behavior, but you can't control it. If you've ever been in a store when a child has decided that child wants something so much that child is willing to drop to the ground and go into a tantrum, you can see that look, that feeling, if you've been there, of not being able to control this child. And so we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to do that as parents, how to control the behavior, how to mold the behavior, which is just another way of saying control. Now, I'm not saying you just say whatever goes, goes. I'm saying you have to recognize that your level of ability to control that is minimal. You can react to it. You can respond to it. You can punish that. You can try to change it. But recognize that even with a child, you can't control it, much less so with another adult. So you have a spouse who's doing things you don't want, like maybe they are acting out in some way. Maybe they're in a midlife crisis and they're doing all kinds of crazy things, and you recognize you can't control the behavior. There can be consequences to the behavior, but that's a different matter. But you can't control it. And this is one of those topics that is nuanced enough that a lot of people struggle with it. You can't control whether a spouse cheats on you, lies to you, hides things from you, decides to divorce without any warning. All of those things are outside of your control. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a response. I'm not saying that you just have to throw up your hands and say, well, I don't have control over this. There's nothing I can do. There are ways you can respond, but you have to recognize that whenever you're responding, you're really proving that you're not in control of it. And when we accept the fact that we can't control another's behavior, it frees us up a little bit. We can feel a lot of pressure to try to control somebody else's behavior. And then when they act out, we feel like we failed. Well, the fact is, they're being humans and deciding to do what they're going to do. We don't have to agree with it, don't have to support it, but we do have to accept that the person gets to make choices about their actions. And they also get to make choices about what they think of us. So add that in that category. We can't control the beliefs that others have, including about you. One of the most crucial things that I realized along the way was I couldn't worry about what everybody else thought of me because I had no control over it, had no way of changing it or stopping it. That was their deal. This is certainly true in the middle of a marriage crisis. Your spouse may be saying some mean things about you and some mean beliefs about you, and you know that they're not true, and yet you can't control whether they hold that belief or not. That's just another one of those things you can't control. So you can't control their actions. You can't control their choices that they're making. You can't control the beliefs other people have, including about you. You also can't control the laws of nature. You know, there are times when we feel bad when something happens, like we should have been able to do something. And what we're trying to do is play as if we have control of nature. Somebody gets injured, gravity takes over, or germs take over, and we feel really bad about that. But to recognize that the laws of nature are not things that we have control over. They've been around long before us and will be around long after us, and they're pretty immutable. If I jump off of a building, gravity will take over. If I'm in a car crash, all kinds of laws of physics are in play. If there is an outbreak of the flu, somebody catching it is not my fault. There are some things I might be able to do to keep that, to minimize the chance. But ultimately, we recognize that the laws of nature are beyond our capacity of controlling. You also, and speaking of yourself, don't have full control over your thoughts and your fears. Let me say what I mean by that. Our thoughts are what our mind does. Our mind is designed to create lots of thoughts. And part of what we struggle with is the fact that some of those thoughts really are disturbing to us, and yet we aren't really controlling them. That's just what our mind is doing, cooking up thoughts. Some are good thoughts, some are bad thoughts, some are helpful thoughts, some are useless thoughts. That's just what a mind does. It creates the thoughts, and there's no way for you to stop it. And let me just prove it for a minute. If I were to say pink elephant, you probably immediately thought about a pink elephant. If I told you to think about a pink elephant spotted with blue, you probably thought of that too. Because the thought was triggered when I said it. Your mind created that image, and off you are running. Maybe you're listening to the news and you have automatic these thoughts in your head that make you upset and angry and frustrated. Your mind is just creating the thoughts. You don't have control over that. You do have control over how long you entertain those thoughts. You do have control over how long you decide to keep giving power to the thoughts. But the fact that the thought pops up, that's just what the mind does. And you don't have control over that, nor do you have control over the fears that pop up. Fears are the way your mind and your body really try to protect you. And so if something startles you, you have a fear response. If something's going on around you, you have a fear response. But you have a choice on how long you're going to allow that fear to hold you, to twist you, to turn you, to keep you stuck. That's the place where you can make some choices. Whether you abide by those fears, whether you buy into the thoughts, those are in your control. Whether you have the initial fear response, whether you have the initial thought in your head, not in your control. You just accept that that's what our mind does. It's just the way our mind is designed and the way our body and brain are designed to keep us safe. So what about partial control? Well, you have partial control over your side of the interactions. In fact, that's what I mean. You have partial control over the interactions because it's over your part of the interaction. If someone is coming at you angrily, you have a choice on whether you're going to respond in anger. If somebody drives up in front of you and cuts you off, you have a choice on what happens next. You pull up beside them and flip them the finger and chase them down. You have a choice in that. If somebody insults you, you have a choice in whether you respond in kind. If your spouse is being mean, saying mean things, picking a fight, you have a choice on whether you're going to pursue that. So these are the places where we have some partial control. Another place you have partial control is in your health. And I hear this all the time with people who are in a crisis to say, you know, I'm not eating well and I'm not sleeping well and I'm not exercising, but I can't help that. As if they have no control over that. We always have control over the choices we make that determine our health. We don't have any choice over the genes that we inherited from our parents, although a lot of research would show that how we make the other choices impact those genes. But we don't have that. We don't have control over, you know, an accident happening to us. We're walking in the woods and the tree falls down. We don't have control over that. But we do have control over our parts of the choices around our health. And sometimes we underestimate that. So we do have a choice in how we're going to interact with the world. And we have some choices, some control over how we're going to take care of our own body, how we're going to make sure that we're okay. There are others. This isn't meant to be an exclusive, complete list as much as to help you begin to pick up the wisdom in the difference. So what do you have full control over? Well, I'm going to give you something that's very easy to remember. It's my three A's over which you have full control. Your aspirations, your attitude, and your actions. You have full control over those. And part of the action piece may be back into that partial control because you don't have control over what someone's bringing to you in an interaction. But then once they've done their piece, you have full control on how you choose. So you don't have full control over the interaction, but you have full control over your part of that interaction. So what do I mean by aspirations? Aspirations are your hopes and your beliefs that you choose to hold. Remember, you have two levels of these core beliefs within you. One is your fear beliefs and the other is your aspirational beliefs. And they almost are mirrors of each other. So you may have an aspirational belief about what a marriage could be, and you have a fear that it's not going to get that way. That's a mirror image. You may have an aspirational belief that you can create a great family and you work towards having a great family. You may have an aspirational belief that it's great to be honest with people and upfront with people. There are lots of ways we can have aspirations of what we want to move towards and who we want to be. Those are the categories within that aspirational belief. Notice that the fear is who we don't want to be and what we don't want to move towards. But the aspirational beliefs about ourselves are who we can be, how we can live out our lives to the fullest, and what we want to move towards. We have full control over choosing those two pieces. We also have full control over our attitude. And what I mean by attitude is kind of your outlook that you're going to approach the world. Are you going to say, I'm going to work through this? Or do you say, I can't do this. I give up. I've told the story many times, but one of the impressionable moments for me was when I first started taking scuba diving and the instructor, who is now my co-instructor and dive buddy, started the class off. And I'll tell you that my co-instructor is about the age of my father and is out water skiing, barefoot skiing every weekend, and still is a very active person riding a motorcycle and running rental properties and teaching scuba and all kinds of cool stuff that somebody in their mid to late 70s is often not seen as being able to do. But he does it every day. And I remember noticing one of the things that made a difference for him. He said to the class, I want you to have a PMA, a positive mental attitude. Now, a positive mental attitude is not saying, I can do this, no problem. That's false attitude. A positive mental attitude is saying, I'm going to take this on as a challenge and I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to realize that this is going to challenge me and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying until I get it. What I liked about that is the attitude isn't a kind of an easy answer where you'd say, okay, I got this. This shouldn't be any big deal. It's where you recognize that things can be big deals and you still face it with courage and you still face it with determination and you still face it as a challenge to learn from. That's what I mean by attitude. You can choose that attitude. When you hear yourself say, I can't do this, to say, I can do this. I've got this. I know it's going to be a struggle, but I'm going to move through this. That's what I'm talking about choosing the attitude and choosing your actions. We always get to choose our actions. So many times through my career, I've had conversations with people who have done some action that they realize they shouldn't have done, but then they discount it and say, well, you know, I can't be blamed for that. I mean, look how I was treated. Or, of course, I yell back at my spouse. What do you expect me to do? And what I realized long ago was we all make choices in our actions. We make choices about how we live our lives in quiet. You know, the things that we do when nobody's looking, that's our actions. But also in how we respond to other people's actions. We have choices in that. And sometimes we don't recognize that we're making a choice, but we're always making a choice about our actions. Always making a choice. We may not be making a choice that we're proud of, and we'd rather claim that we had no control over it, but we do. Let me give a quick example of proof of that. I've talked with people who came to see me because of their relationship with their kids. They were tired of constantly yelling, and they would tell me the stories about why they were yelling to justify the fact that they were yelling. And they would basically say, I can't help it. When they act like that, of course I'm going to yell. To which I say, if your boss did that, would you yell at your boss? If a police officer did that, would you yell at the police officer? If somebody in high office, you know, if it was the president or if it was a royalty, would you yell at that person? And they usually admit at some point, no, they would not. They would hold their tongue, which is proof that we're choosing when to hold our tongue and when not to hold our tongue. And that's an important difference to listen to. We have full control. Once we accept it, we have full control over our actions. Now there's the courage part. Are we willing to change the things about our aspirations, about our attitude, and about our actions that we need to change, but would rather not? That's courage. So, a couple of things, 4 points to do. One, give up controlling others, their actions, and their beliefs. Just give it up. Decide you're not going to do that. The second thing is attend to the interactions and recognize your choices in those interactions. Notice where you do have a choice in the interaction. You may not have a choice in what happened, but you have a choice in the interactions. Number three, accept responsibility for your three A's, your aspirations, your attitude, your actions. Recognize that you can control them and choose to take on that courage. And then finally, practice asking, do I have full control? Do I have partial control? Or do I have zero control? And this is where wisdom happens. When we're asking that question, we move towards that wisdom. When we don't do that, we can't enact the other two. But once we ask that question, it's the beginning point of this. Wisdom starts the process where we can bring in serenity by accepting the things we cannot change and courage to change the things we can change. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.